and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. The Iran-backed Hezbollah militant group says it attacked military facilities in northern Israel today after Israel hit dozens of Hezbollah targets overnight in southern Lebanon. The BBC's Hugo Bachega has more from a tense Beirut.
Hezbollah has been weakened not only because of the attacks but also because of the high-profile assassinations of the last few days. But it remains a powerful force. It still has, you know, tens of thousands of rockets, including precision-guided missiles that can strike deep inside Israel.
Lebanon's health minister said today the death toll from Israeli strikes since Monday has reached 558, including 50 children and 94 women. He said more than 1,800 people have been wounded. As tensions mount in the Middle East, the U.S. is adding to its contingent of troops in the region. Here's CBS News Pentagon correspondent Charlie Daggett.
The U.S. already has around 40,000 troops at a number of bases across the region, in addition to the USS Abraham Lincoln aircraft carrier and a fleet of destroyers.
A long list of concerns and conflicts will be articulated today when President Biden gives his final speech to the UN General Assembly. White House spokesman John Kirby.
Mobilizing resources for developing countries, managing the risks and benefits of artificial intelligence, and helping end the brutal wars in Gaza, Ukraine, and Sudan.
Another state is raising a red flag over a rare mosquito-borne illness.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul has declared an imminent public health threat after the first person in almost a decade has died in the state from eastern equine encephalitis. Details haven't been released, but the case was confirmed about 100 miles north of New York City in Ulster County. The state parks department says it will now be providing mosquito repellent to visitors and posting signs at parks and historic sites. The death in New York is the second related to EEE reported in the U.S. this year. The other involved a 41-year-old New Hampshire man who died last month. Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News, New York.
The Parks Department is also considering limiting park hours and camping. The number of people in the U.S. considered severely obese has risen over the past 10 years. Here's CBS's Skylar Henley.
The agency says the obesity rate has not changed significantly over the past decade, but the prevalence of severe obesity has risen from 7.7% to 9.7%.
The numbers from the CDC. Classes will resume at Appalachia High School in Winder, Georgia today, almost 3 weeks after a shooter killed two students and two teachers. There will be extra security, counselors, and even therapy dogs. Dow, S&P 500, and NASDAQ futures all in the green. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. More school threats. A 12-year-old girl all the way in Arizona was taken into police custody for making a threat to Milwaukee schools. Milwaukee police were investigating the threat and ended up tracking the IP address to her home in Buckeye, Arizona. She's now facing felony charges, including making a terroristic threat. You'll remember last week we reported that the State Department of Justice is asking parents to talk to your kids about these threats and make sure they understand how serious they are. The Trump campaign announced Sunday that they are launching a Wisconsin bus tour that will run from September 23rd to September 25th. The bus tour consists of 9 stops ending in Waukesha. The tour will feature former presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy and RNC committee co-chair Laura Trump at the last stop in Waukesha. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers prep for Minnesota. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Green Bay is 2-1 heading into this Sunday's matchup with the Vikings. Head coach Matt LaFleur said they know all about Vikings running back Aaron Jones.
He's a problem. He is, and he looks really good. And I've been able to watch him a little bit. Certainly he's one of my favorite players that I've ever had the privilege to coach, a guy like that, just in terms of how he goes about his business and Still got a lot of love for him.
Starting quarterback Jordan Love, who practiced all of last week, has missed two games with an MCL sprain but could return this week. Kickoff is at noon on Sunday. The Brewers have six games to play in the regular season. They are in Pittsburgh for three games starting tonight before a home series with the Mets. The playoffs start in October. And the kickoff times for the next two Wisconsin football games are set. They'll be at USC on Saturday with a 2:30 p.m. start. Then they come home to play Purdue a week from Saturday at 11 a.m. Filling in for Mike Clement, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be partly cloudy today with a high in the upper 60s to near 70 today. The wind out of the east at around 5 to 10. Tonight, mostly clear. A little patchy fog overnight with a low in the mid-40s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the low to mid-70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. I will start the show and then pass the hosting baton to my friend and ongoing contributor, Trigvi Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. It will be spectacular. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's 7:06, and nice to have you here on this Tuesday morning, September 24th, 2024. We are 6 weeks out from Election Day. Coming up this hour, we'll have Julie Lassa back from USDA Rural Development. She's the state director. The U.S. Department of Agriculture is about so much more than just farming. It's about rural America, you know, writ large, and the rural economy. And there are all kinds of investments that have been made over the decades, but some of the largest are coming from the Biden-Harris administration here to rural Wisconsin. And Julie's going to walk us through some of the more recent examples. Chad Holmes will be along as well. And Brittany Merlot is standing by to give us the forecast. But first, get that Civic Media app ready and get ready to text the station here. You pick the station where you can hear Up North News Radio. There are seven of them around the state. Because it's time for the Green or Gold Text to Win contest that we do four times a day, 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., and 4 p.m. You've got till the end of the hour to give us, text us this hour's keyword. Each one of those four times a day, we pick one entry statewide at random. The winner gets $100 cash or gold jewelry, depending on what's up for grabs at that hour. And of all the entries, there will be one grand prize winner getting a pair of indoor tickets to see the Green and Gold in Green Bay on Monday, December 23rd, against Nolens. So, get that Civic Media app ready. This hour's keyword is green, like the color, like G-R-E-E-N. Green is this hour's keyword. Text it through the Civic Media app, and you are in the running for some gold jewelry this hour as part of the Go for the Green or Gold contest. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot joins us now to tell us more about what is yet another pleasant fall day. And fall would be operative, as Rob tells us. Good morning from Tigerton. It's 47. Sun's coming up. I had a mowing job and had to wear a hoodie, but the sunshine felt good. He's got mowing jobs in Wittenberg today. And based on our music segment a minute ago, he says, "Don't Worry, Be Happy" was a popular song when he was working and staying in Green Bay in 1988. And when they opened the first 10-mile stretch of a four-lane Highway 29 in western Brown County, I remember that well. Could not wait for four-lane Highway 29 to be done. So, Brittany, yeah, it's hoodie season.
It sure is. In fact, I'm in one right now, speaking of that, right? Gotta love it.
Greg, shorts. Shorts and t-shirt over there still, bud?
I'm wearing shorts. Get over it. And I'm wearing my short sleeve.
What's the get over?
Well, that's more for the people who are like, "Greg, you need to put some pants on." Well, I have pants on. They're just short pants. And I have my short sleeve hoodie on.
Is that a short sleeve hoodie?
It's a short sleeve hoodie. It's the best thing ever.
Oh my goodness! Okay,
no way. That's pretty
little,
cool.
A little chilly out there for Alicia.
It's like the managers wear at the Brewers games.
Yeah, it's that Bill Belichick thing that he's got going on over there. All right,
I like the dance. Sounds great. Got the moves.
Yeah, he's got a little short sleeve hoodie dance for us as well. Do we stay in the hoodies for a while, or are we warming up here?
I think short sleeve hoodie is the perfect gear to wear right now because
I think you're right.
You need it in the morning, right? You want the hoodie in the morning, but you don't really need it by the afternoon. And that's going to be the case again today. So if you live further northwest, you're going to see a lot more sunshine today versus the southeastern parts of the state. It's going to be rainy, cloudy, and dreary over there as a low pressure system takes off from Illinois and slides through Michigan. So by Lake Michigan, you're going to have a wet day. Otherwise, everybody else will see a ton of sunshine. Highs will be around 70 the further west you live and closer to 60 the further east you live today. But overall, a fantastic, still fall-like feeling day today. We'll rise a little bit warmer tomorrow and then even more as we go into the weekend. That, of course, is that tropical cyclone, which is expected to turn into a hurricane, is actually going to make its way towards us by the weekend. So we're going to keep tracking that for you.
Ooh, is that as they say in the Geico commercial? Is that the atmospheric river? Are we going to get something like that?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, that sounds like a band I don't want to listen to.
Do you know the commercial I'm talking about, where people, as they get older, they just start talking about the weather all the time?
Yep. Oh yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I just have one thing I want to say to Rob in Tigerton really quick.
Yes,
weather's getting cooler. You are wearing that hoodie, but you're still working. Still got to drink that water.
There you go. Hydration is key.
Exactly.
And is that, am I seeing right through my tiny screen here? Is that a Miami Beach sweatshirt that you've got?
Yes.
A hoodie?
I know.
They're selling
hoodies
in Miami Beach. Well, if they don't know how to cater to northern tourists.
No, actually, have you ever seen a Floridian in 55 to 60 degree weather?
Oh, a parka, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. You're right. That makes perfect sense. And probably can get it at a discount that way. All right, Brittany, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
All right. Brewers were off yesterday. They start a series in Pittsburgh. It's the final road series of the regular season. The first pitch is at 5:40. The pregame is at 5:05 on Civic Media Stations WRCE in Richland Center, WRN in Racine Kenosha, WCQM in Park Falls, and WISS in Oshkosh. So again, 5:05 pregame, 5:40 first pitch today, and again tomorrow. But on Thursday, first pitch is at 11:35 in the morning. And then the Brewers come home for a three-game series against the New York Mets, and then it's off to the postseason. You can sign up for our Unabashedly Wisconsin newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. And once you're there, you can click subscribe in the top banner. And among the stories that are there today, something all about one of the best fall color spots, a 60-foot tower built on a bluff that puts you more than 250 feet above the canopy. So learn more details about Peninsula State Park coming up on the Up North News Daily Newsletter. Again, head over to upnorthnewswi.com. There is a birthday of note that I didn't have time to do in our last hour, but it's a true Wisconsin legend. And a lot of people probably don't know much about Dick Bong anymore, and they think the name is kind of funny if they go over the Dick Bong Bridge in Superior. But it's worth noting that Richard Bong, a Medal of Honor recipient, was born this day in 1920. He was one of the most decorated American fighter pilots. He was the country's top flying ace in World War II, credited with shooting down 40 enemy aircraft. He did it all with his Lockheed P-38 Lightning aircraft. Richard Bong grew up on a farm in Poplar, where he became interested in aircraft at an early age. As he would watch planes fly over the farm, the planes were carrying mail for President Calvin Coolidge. A lot of folks don't remember anymore that Calvin Coolidge, his summer White House was in Superior. The president spent his summers in Superior getting out of the heat of Washington, D.C. Young Dick Bong would see these airplanes, got interested, learned all about them, started flying. again, was a tremendous air fighter, died in the late stages of the war in California while test flying a Lockheed P-80 jet fighter. So again, that was just at the age of 24, 25 years old, but wanted to make note of his birthday and the anniversary of a true Wisconsin legend. All right. As mentioned before in the headlines, former President Donald Trump is coming to Wisconsin this weekend. And a lot of times we will tell you that Wisconsin getting attention from a major presidential candidate of either party is a big deal. It's becoming increasingly less so, especially in this instance. And it's not just because of the saturation coverage, and maybe some people are actually getting tired of the election, you know, with only 6 weeks to go from today. But there's also nothing honorable about this upcoming visit for this reason. He didn't pick Prairie du Chien at random. In much the same way J.D. Vance picked Eau Claire recently, which is having a controversy about some people that don't want to welcome refugees to town, and Trump recently going to Howell, Michigan, which has been in the past a center of Ku Klux Klan activity. Trump is coming to Prairie du Chien basically to say, we don't want another Springfield, Ohio. He's going to go on yet another anti-immigrant rant. Because in Prairie du Chien recently, there was a Venezuelan immigrant who was arrested for domestic violence and has ties to a gang there. As mentioned last week, I don't recall hearing this kind of attention for the thousands and thousands of other cases of domestic violence that, again, were cherry-picking something to fit a narrative. And the narrative is very simple. To hear Donald Trump's speeches these days, that it's basically anybody who's not white and native born is not welcome. You had him at a rally yesterday saying about Springfield and the legal Haitian immigrants there that they all need to be sent back. And the crowd begins cheering, send them back, send them back. As if their parents and great-grandparents didn't also struggle and come to a country for a new way of life and were similarly attacked for what they looked like and where they came from, not each of their individual capabilities. But that's what Trump's going to be talking about. And when he's not talking about immigrants, he's running anti-trans ads, and now so is Eric Hovde. And when they're not running anti-trans ads, Trump is talking about tariffs. With absolutely no true understanding of how tariffs work. Because he does. He knows how tariffs work. He's hoping that you, the voter, don't quite understand how tariffs work and that you hear the line about it being, it's a tax on a foreign country and it's going to raise us all this money and it's going to make our lives a lot easier. And it most decidedly is not. And I'm going to talk more about that on the other side of the break. But first, I'm going to remind you that, again, in our Go for the Greener Gold contest, the keyword this hour is green, like the color. So text that to us through the Civic Media app. And one note from the text line as well from Matt in Germantown was amazed when I talked to Sharita Booker an hour ago when I talked about eating too much of a Kringle and having to stop. You know, it starts off as this round letter O and pretty soon it's a letter C and it's getting smaller. And Matt writes in, you stop? My wife and I eat the entire thing, whether it be brownies or a Kringle, to which I have no beef with that whatsoever, Matt. If I could get away with it, I would. More after this. You're up north.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
Temperatures are falling, and with that, hoodie season. This season, show your personality through your clothes by customizing your long-sleeve shirts, sweatshirts, and more. Don't let today's style hold you back. Call Wham Incorporated today, 715-423-9465.
Dynamite! Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Whether you're a do-it-yourselfer or professional technician, Auto Value is committed to providing the parts you need and the service you deserve. Auto Value Parts Store. We've got the parts. We've got the smarts. Your school can earn up to $10,000 this year. Just save the UPCs from the Country Hearth products your family already enjoys. Learn more at loavesforlearning.com. That's loavesforlearning.com.
At Lakeland Care, we are passionate about creating a world we all want to live in. Lakeland Care supports frail elders and adults with disabilities through Wisconsin's Family Care Program. As a Lakeland Care member, you'll benefit from a dedicated care team that assists you in managing your health and daily activities. Our personalized support aims to improve your quality of life and help you maintain your independence. To find out if you qualify, contact your county's Aging and Disability Resource Center. To learn more about Lakeland Care, visit lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
Join our advertising family on WFHR and WIRI and see how radio can help improve awareness, revenue, and staffing for your business. I'm Ashley, and it's my mission to help our area businesses thrive. Call me today, 715-496-0710.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
That's the title track to the film of the same name, That Thing You Do, by Tom Hanks. The track was written by Adam Schlesinger, bass player for Fountains of Wayne. It peaked at number 41 on the Billboard charts, and again released this day in 1996. Remember, you can sign up for the Up North News Daily Newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. We're also doing what I like to call our pledge break or pledge drive. Once every quarter or so, we remind folks that Up North News does not have a paywall, never will. And we'd love to have your support as well. You can head to the website, upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe for the newsletter, click support if you'd like to support the work that we do over there. Well, it's telling about Donald Trump when the following two words lead a headline. Trump listens. It caught my attention. Like, wait, he did what? It says Trump listens during a farming event in rural Pennsylvania. And the Associated Press story says Donald Trump sat in a large barn in rural Pennsylvania on Monday, asking questions of farmers and offering jokes, but in a rarity for his campaign events, mostly listening. The bombastic former president was unusually restrained at an event about China's influence on the U.S. economy, a roundtable during which farmers and manufacturers expressed concerns about losing their way of life. Well, it starts out that way, and the article points out that this is the listening session. There was a rally that followed, and the Donald Trump that we all know returned. But in between the two, after hearing all these farmers' concerns, he gave his standard answer that he has. And that's the other part of this headline. Trump listens during a farming event in rural Pennsylvania, then threatens John Deere with tariffs. Now, John Deere is, in fact, looking to move some of its manufacturing to Mexico. Trump threatened the company with a 200% tariff if he were to win back the presidency and if they were to try to export manufacturing to Mexico, which again, on its face, might sound attractive if that's all there was to it, that you're going to pay this penalty if you go. But that's not how trade wars work. With trade wars, as we learned in Donald Trump's first presidency, you raise tariffs on their exports, they raise tariffs on ours. And it did tremendous damage, not just to farmers Well, it did damage to their export sales. It didn't do as much damage to farmers financially, but here's why. Donald Trump then sent them relief checks totaling $28 billion during his term for a trade war with China where the Wisconsin market for soybeans dried up. So did we make a point there? Or did we just add $28 billion to the national debt to make Trump feel good? There have been plenty of articles, they would not be tough to find, about the folly of trying to ignite another trade war rather than try to negotiate trade agreements that are fair for all parties involved. And Trump's taking it a step further in that he's talking about getting rid of the income tax and replacing it with tariffs, which is how the United States operated about 200 years ago before there was, you know, manufacturing and much more of a global economy. We now have that global economy in place with plenty of opportunities for trade to go very well or to go very badly, as happened in the 1930s when Congress got all tariff happy and only made a depression that much worse. And here's the thing. How big would tariffs have to be to replace individual and corporate income taxes? Because right now, individual and corporate income taxes generates $2 trillion a year. Imagine tariffs so high to generate $2 trillion in revenue. How much higher would our prices be in the stores? Because tariffs, contrary to what Donald Trump tells people, tariffs aren't paid by the country. They're not the only ones who pay. That cost gets passed along to the consumer. And so let's say there's a TV set made in China, and now there's a 200% tariff on it. The price is going to go up. The logic is that, well, now you're going to buy an American-made one, except that TVs haven't been made in America in a long time. Sure, it could get us to start or restart an industry like making TVs or making clothing or things like that. But then you know who'd have to take all those new low-end manufacturing jobs? Yeah, the same immigrants that he wants to deport en masse. This is not an actual plan. It's not an actual working plan. But by the way, it's not the full extent of his plan. The full extent of his plan is to help the very wealthy. Because right now, you can make an income tax more progressive, meaning millionaires and billionaires could pay a higher percentage of their income in taxes than, say, you know, teachers and guys who work in a factory. You can make income taxes more progressive. You can make corporate taxes more progressive. But if you swap that out for tariffs, where do the tariffs come from? Well, in Donald Trump's mind, they come from him, like right there where he just threatened John Deere. So what you've got is trading a fair system of taxes that you can always tweak with just giving some guy the power to decide on his own that this company or this industry is going to be punished with tariffs. Do you think he's going to punish millionaires and billionaires with higher taxes? Or do you think that once millionaires and billionaires have their individual taxes taken down substantially, the rest of us are going to make up the difference in higher prices because of tariffs and tariffs that Donald Trump chooses? He chooses who to punish. That's not a way a democracy works in an economy. That's the way a strongman works, the way an authoritarian works. It's the way Donald Trump works. When he talks about tariffs, he's talking about being an authoritarian strongman. The same goes for having the power to deport millions of people, including legal immigrants. The man said he wanted to be a dictator on day one. Believe him already. We'll talk to Julie Lassa from USDA Rural Development about Biden-Harris investments in Wisconsin next. You're up north.
that thing you do.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Tuesday. Felt's Dairy Farm in Stevens Point is one of the four farms chosen to help celebrate the 2025 draft. Not only can you walk through their specially designed corn maze this fall, but cheese curds are also a fan favorite. We'll talk about it next.
Whether it's finally getting that blue ribbon or enjoying too many carnival rides, we all have memories of the fair. Here's your chance to share those stories in our Everybody Has a Fair Story contest. The Midwest Farm Report is teaming up with the Wisconsin Association of Fairs as they look for the grand champion fair story. Enter the Fair Story contest for a chance to win a cash prize at MidwestFarmReport.com.
At Feltz's Dairy Store in Stevens Point, cheese curds were such a popular item that Jake Feltz decided to get his cheese-making license to make his own. Just a few years later, he says they can barely restock fast enough.
When we opened, we were like, curds were kind of our most popular product. But at that point, it was kind of scary. The equipment we got was a little bigger than what we technically needed at the time. But now, 3 years later, the equipment is getting too small for us. We could use some bigger stuff. So we thought we'd have a whole bunch of leftover. We were getting, when we were kind of in the process of planting, we thought we'd need a lot of wholesale accounts, things like that, to try to use up the curds we were making. But yeah, now we sell everything just right on site. And like I said, we could use larger equipment already, especially this last summer. It's kind of hard to keep up with demand. So it's been, I think, better than we thought even.
They serve five unique flavors of cheese curds at the store. Feltz's Dairy Farm is also one of the four farms that's offering a 2025 draft-themed corn maze this fall. The 2025 draft is coming to Green Bay in the spring. Agriculture is a part of the celebration. You can learn more about it at MidwestFarmReport.com. And don't go anywhere. I've got more agribusiness news coming your way.
There goes Pam Yonke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to Blaine's Farm and Fleet, the original, authentic, still family-owned since 1955. And from Farm First Dairy Cooperative, serving dairy farmers across the Midwest since 2013. Farm First Dairy Cooperative, member-focused, member-driven, member-led. Be sure to keep up with Pam and her travels at MidwestFarmReport.com and on Facebook at Midwest Farm Report, on Instagram at MWF Report, or by downloading the Midwest Farm Report app.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture has launched a Distressed Borrowers Assistance Network. The goal of the network is to provide personalized support to financially distressed farmers. Through a series of cooperative agreements, this national network will connect borrowers with help to regain financial footing. You can reach out to your local Farm Service Agency office to learn more. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be partly cloudy today with a high in the upper 60s to near 70 today. The wind out of the east at around 5 to 10. Tonight, mostly clear. A little patchy fog overnight with a low in the mid-40s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the low to mid-70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
The Second Amendment is designed to keep the power in this country with the people.
It's not the Second Amendment that preserves power in the people. It's elections, you moron. A dictator like Donald Trump that is a king and immune from prosecution, that is what erodes democracy. Kamala Harris and Uncle Tim Walz, they own guns. Nobody's coming for them. Chillax, Glenn. Get yourself some facts.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I noticed when you buy toilets, they all have like these snazzy names. The Ambassador. Toilets do not do any kind of ambassadorship. This is for people who take huge dumps, this model.
The Ultimax.
The Ultimax. Why would you name a toilet that? Just a serial number is fine.
Every single toilet should be called the King's Throne. That's it.
Works. It's a lot easier.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Kristen Wolf returns from Democrats Abroad. If you live overseas, your vote counts too. Don't miss it.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings at 10.
Let's get into the details of a big move by the Biden-Harris administration for rural America. $7 billion for rural electric cooperatives to build a clean energy infrastructure, the largest investment in rural electrification since the New Deal. It's called the New ERA program, ERA standing for Empowering Rural America. Including private partnership investments, it's a nearly $30 billion boost to the rural economy. And we're joined once again by our friend Julie Lassa, the State Director for USDA Rural Development for Wisconsin. Julie, how are you?
I am doing well. I have all of my computer glitches and bugs hopefully fixed. And hopefully it'll be a good rest of the day.
Oh, I'm sure that it will be. Julie and I served in the state Senate together. Now she works for USDA Rural Development, which let's go back as we often do and do a quick square one on rural development, because people hear USDA and they think that's all about farms and farming. But USDA Rural Development plays a big role in the full rural economy. So tell us more about what rural development does.
Yeah, so real quick elevator pitch for us. Rural development is housed within USDA. We have over 70 different programs that span from helping low and very low income folks purchase their first home, potentially renovate an existing home that they have, especially if they need a new roof, water heater, that type of thing. We help communities purchase fire trucks, police vehicles, maybe replace their town hall, renovate their public library. And then we also help with, high-speed internet, electricity for co-ops. And then also we have our business and cooperative services, and there we help either communities themselves put together a revolving loan fund to help with business improvements in their area, or we can work with small and mid-sized companies themselves if they're looking to expand. And they can be in agriculture or they don't have to be. They just have to be located in a rural community.
And so sometimes
we do a lot.
Sometimes it's financial, but sometimes it's a matter of connecting people to resources or groups or businesses, whatever the case may be. So, I mean, there's a lot. And for people going, well, wait, why are they doing all that in the rural areas? Just, again, I think the base model that everybody comes back to is electricity. There was not going to be electricity in rural America for a very long time until some folks said, this is something the federal government can do for areas that otherwise can't do it on their own, and make them full partners in the national economy. And the same goes for all these other ways to boost the rural economy, which, again, hey, we all appreciate, you know, Milwaukee, Madison, Eau Claire, Green Bay, but you don't take care of rural Wisconsin, you're screwing over the whole state's economy. We're all in this together.
We are, and rural communities are the backbone not only of Wisconsin, but of the rest of the country. And the last time I heard, people like to eat. Yes. Their food comes from farms. Most of those are located in rural areas. And just like you alluded to, I mean, it was FDR and the New Deal that brought electricity to rural communities, as you said. You know, that wasn't going to happen without the New Deal and the Rural Electrification Act. And the exciting announcement that President Biden made in Westby, Wisconsin last week is the largest investment that's been made in rural electrification since the New Deal. That was done in 1936. So it's really exciting. And this is all for clean, renewable energy that will help cut the costs of electricity for one out of five rural residents. According to the announcement that was made and the co-ops that are participating in it. It's really exciting to see that type of investment being made.
I recall when we were both in the state Senate, and it was in that 2007-8-9 realm, and as we were having discussions about, you know, renewable energy goals, and the big utilities were already moving in that direction. Mm-hmm. The rural cooperatives in Wisconsin and elsewhere were saying, well, not so fast. We don't have their kind of resources. We've been relying on train loads of coal coming in from, you know, Wyoming and other places. And it's going to take a lot for us to get modernized into wind and solar. Well, again, that's where, fast forward to today, it's taken some time. But by providing these kind of investments from the Biden-Harris administration, you know, through USDA Rural Development, through the investments in cooperatives and everything else, that's what's finally taking, you know, this big step toward more renewable sources of energy from all players in Wisconsin, rural as well as urban.
Right. And in that, I mean, the private utilities, they had built-in advantages like tax credits and things like that. But the co-ops were really at a disadvantage. And so by making the investments that President Biden announced last week, it really helps to put them at a more level playing field so that they can make those investments. So in terms of like with Dairyland Power, what New Era allows them to do is that they're getting a grant and loan funding of nearly $573 million. And what that means for co-op members, whether they're individuals or businesses or farmers, it's Dairyland's electric rates are estimated to be 42% lower over 10 years than they would have been without the New Era funding. And because of the investment that the federal government is making in them, it will also leverage a total investment of $2.1 billion because that is what Dairyland Power is going to be investing in order to build out four solar installations, four wind power installations, and then they're also going to be putting in place eight power purchasing agreements. So it's exciting. And when I was at the event, I had a chance to talk with the head of the Operating Engineers Union. And he said, because of investments like the New Era that was announced for Dairyland last week, and the other infrastructure investments made under the Biden-Harris administration, they are going to be able to and have brought on over 1,000 new apprentices in Wisconsin. Those are good paying union jobs. And those folks then, they go out and they purchase homes or they're able to make other purchases. And that just continues to benefit the local economy as that ripples out. So it's really exciting to see this type of investment being made, not only through New Era, but through the other infrastructure investments that this administration has made in Wisconsin and across rural America.
Well, let's talk about some of those other investments across rural Wisconsin. Julie Lassa is our guest from USDA Rural Development. She's the state director for that. And so let's start with something that is thought of more in the traditional USDA vein. Let's go over to Plum City. Where over the summer there was assistance provided $1.5 million as part of the meat and poultry processing expansion program. It's something we've talked about a lot on this program because everybody understood, you know, they learned the phrase supply chain issues, and they learned about how basically it's four big companies control just an insane amount of all the meat production in this country. And maybe it's a better idea to be more supportive of more smaller, more local places. And there's all kinds of potential here in Wisconsin. So this Plum City one is one example of how USDA Rural Development and other parties can come together to give us a more diverse meat processing food supply chain.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, people can remember during the pandemic when the not only was there not enough toilet paper on the store shelves, but they were also having a hard time being able to purchase the food that they needed to put on their family table. And that really, the weakness there was highlighted during the pandemic, because you had farmers who wanted to be able to ship their hogs to the meatpacking plants, but because of how the meatpacking plants were situated, the hogs were too big to fit into the processing through their system. And so those pigs had to be euthanized. And you had people who couldn't buy pork and other meat products in the grocery stores. So it showed the weakness there. And when you had President Biden and Vice President Harris come in along with Secretary Vilsack, they identified this as a weakness, came up with the meat and poultry processing expansion program to strengthen the American food supply chain and to invest money in to increase independent meat and poultry processing capacity. And we were fortunate in Wisconsin to have some of the awards here. And as you said, one was to J.M. Watkins in Plum City. They are going to be putting up, constructing a new meat processing facility. When we were there, we took a tour of the existing one. And, you know, what's great is that they're going to be able to add 16 new employees, as well as serve an additional 36 new producers. So in that way, they're able to ripple out and impact that market. And when we see awards like that throughout the United States, it really goes to help strengthen our food supply. And I know here in Wisconsin, Governor Evers, as well as DACAP Secretary Randy Romanski, are doing similar things at the state level. So there is a recognition that there is a need. And USDA and DACAP have stepped forward to be able to do that.
So, I mean, to sum it all up, Julie, there is just no shortage of areas where you and I, through these visits, get to let people know what a difference is being made in rural Wisconsin, bit by bit. They don't get the big glitzy headlines. They don't have the big, you know, high circulation newspapers. But if you live in that particular zip code, these things are a big deal.
They make a big deal. And just like, you know, the Lafayette, the Memorial Hospital in Lafayette County in Darlington, I mean, that is a big deal. We are helping them replace a outdated hospital. They are a critical access hospital. And then the new hospital that's currently under construction. And that is going to make a big difference in terms of people being able to continue to receive high quality health care within the Darlington community, as well as the surrounding area. And it's really impressive what they're doing there. And that could not have been done without the assistance of rural development. So we do a lot, and it's an opportunity for me to be on your show to get to really tout what we do at rural development, because this administration has made our rural communities and the people who live there and do business there a priority. And a lot of the times they are using rural development and USDA to be able to do that.
Exactly. And again, you can Google Wisconsin Rural Development, or if you really, really need a website, what it'll take you to first off is RD for Rural Development, rd.usda.gov/WI. Julie Lassa, State Director for USDA Rural Development for Wisconsin. Always great to connect with you. Look forward to getting another update on all your progress real soon.
Hey, that sounds great. Wisconsin's going to be a hive of activity, and we look forward to covering it with you.
we don't know how not to be. All right, thanks, Julie. Have a great day.
You too.
And we'll be back with more right after this here up north.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
Usinger's has been making America's finest sausage for over 140 years. Now Usinger's fresh brats are flash frozen and vacuum packed so they stay butcher shop fresh for 6 months in your freezer. And because there's no air in the package, there's no need for chemical preservatives. Usinger's fresh brats are the freshest, most additive-free you will find. Enjoy some this summer with our other Great Link products. Our VacPack sausage seals in flavor and leaves out chemicals. Remember, if it's got the elf on the label, you've got quality on your table.
It's time to go for the green or gold with Civic Media's new Text to Win contest. When you go for the green or gold, you could win $100 cash, gold jewelry, and be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club-level seats to see the green and gold in Green Bay. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store and get ready to text in for your chance to win in this statewide contest. Get ready to go for the green or gold with your local Civic Media radio station.
Ready, set, go. Get in the game and be heard with WFHR's Playmakers. Join us 5 to 6 Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We're here to take your calls, sports takes, and ramblings. We'll have breaking stories, game day conversations with players, coaches, and you. Nobody ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Join the team here at WFHR 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, 5 to 6 PM Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for WFHR's Playmakers.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Chad Holmes from 98.9 WXCO is coming up next in the Wausau area, or listen through the Civic Media app. And hey, while you're at the Civic Media app, why don't you text us the word green? Right now, it's part of the Go for the Green or Gold contest, and you got till the end of the hour to be in the running for some jewelry and maybe a grand prize, some tickets to see the Green and Gold play in Green Bay. Tomorrow on the program, we'll have the superintendent from the Alma Center Humbird, Maryland School District talking about their plans to add a child care center, but there's also a referendum that would need to pass to have that happen, though they have found a creative way to get about half the construction paid for. So we'll have details on that tomorrow. Mr. Holmes, I begin our visit with some sad news. I mentioned in the last hour that the last traditional full-service Kmart store was closing out in New York State. But I've also learned that now what we used to know as Schwann's is ceasing operations after 72 years. Now it's called Yellow, but they're... We no longer get those yellow trucks coming into our driveways bringing dinners and treats to us. Were you ever a Schwann's customer?
I remember the Schwann's. I'm sure I have had the Schwann's and Kmart. I mean, you talk about, you know, here in Wausau, I mean, I still drive past on Grand Avenue and there's like an apartment complex now, but that was always the Kmart for like 20, 25, 30 years. And
yeah.
You see a lot of these types of businesses going away. And again, it just shows that the change that occurs, and I think it's not always the best kind of change because we see a lot of what you call the, you know, mega corporations that are taking over. And again, it shows the difficulty, I think, that all elected officials have. If you're just going to be there to kind of make time, you're going to see all this kind of stuff to slide right on by. But it's the people like Julie Lasso, you're just talking about. I was just saying to you, back in the day, like 20, 25 years ago, I was working in Stevens Point. I'd cover news, and I'd go to events with Julie Lasso, and she was just a wonderfully hardworking state legislator and somebody that was very much, you know, out there in terms of doing the job. And I think now, more than ever, we need people that are doing the job, because all of a sudden, you just see these businesses that are, you know, staples of our community slipping away.
When you talk about, you know, working with Julie, you know, 20, 25 years ago, and I'm sure she rolls her eyes much the same way that I did a couple of days back, saw somebody was getting some work done. And I got to hear those infamous words. Oh, I watched you on TV when I was a kid. I'm like, great, great. Thanks a lot. Appreciate that.
What was his hair like? What was his hair like?
I remember hearing you when I was a kid.
Oh gosh, that reminds me. I was gassing up yesterday at Fleet Farm. I'm picking up some flannel shirts, and this guy goes, "You're the guy from up north Wisconsin." And as I lurked, and as he was saying it, he had a flannel shirt. He had a close cropped gray beard. He had glasses. The voice wasn't matching, but he looked just enough like Derek Van Orden. Then when he said, "You're the guy from up north Wisconsin," I thought, "Oh, uh-oh, this could go wrong." And I'm like, "Yeah." And then I could tell it wasn't actually. It was just somebody who kind of resembled him. And he's like, "Really like the work that you guys do." I'm like, "Oh, good. Thank you very much. Otherwise, I would have had a totally different story about Derek Van Orden accosting me in a parking lot."
But I think it's unfortunate now that I would be able to see Derek Van Orden and recognize him at sight, because I'm seeing a lot of his commercials here in the Wausau area.
Yes.
But the good news is, as opposed to 2 years ago when I saw a lot of Derek Van Orden commercials in the run-up to the election, we're also seeing Rebecca Cook out there quite a bit, and did not see that 2 years ago. And that turned out to be a very big mistake for the Democrats.
Right.
And now I'm going to try to remedy that situation here in 6 weeks' time.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So the statement from Yellow Schwanz says they blame external headwinds such as the nationwide labor shortage, food supply chain disruption, and changing consumer lifestyles as digital shopping has replaced the personal at-the-door customer interaction that was the hallmark of the company. And I can't help, and I have invoked this before. I don't know if you've seen the Pixar, Disney Pixar cartoon WALL-E, the movie, but there's a big old giant company there called By and Large. And I always think of Amazon every time I see that basically By and Large essentially ran the planet and screwed things up so much that the whole Earth's population had to go live in outer space. And I think we once had, like, you know, door-to-door delivery of food, and you could go to the local Kmart or Sears, Mr. Bach.
I don't ever like to see any business go out of business for business. And Schwanz is definitely a, you know, tradition here in Wisconsin, at least. But all those reasons sound very like supply chain, people don't want to work, and Amazon. Well, all right. Did you also maybe not adjust your business model for the changing times? I don't know.
I was going to go next. Copy and paste.
I mean, that statement's been put out a lot of times.
I was going to invoke Kmart and Sears, and Tony writes in, "Don't worry, Elon Musk is on it, Pat." Thanks, Tony, very much. Appreciate that. But that, as I've said before, Kmart and Sears and others, they didn't have to necessarily go out of business. They didn't adjust. They're looking at what Amazon's doing. Amazon started as a little stupid bookstore.
Yeah.
You know, they made the adjustments. There might have been some anti-competitive practices in there too, but yeah, there's always reason. Greg, your point's extremely well taken. They could have adjusted and didn't.
Yeah.
So Mr. Holmes, however, has adjusted with the circumstances, and that's why he's, you know, rapidly becoming the king of Wausau media and tells us what's coming up next. What are you talking about today?
Later in the program, I'm going to have your old buddy Kirk Bankstad on the show. They got some get-out-the-vote extravaganzas going on
in
the state of Wisconsin this weekend, one of which is in Wausau coming up on Friday. So we're going to talk a little bit about what to expect for folks that are going out on Friday to Sylvan Hill to see that GOTV extravaganza.
So yes, I spoke at their Eau Claire event last week. So, yeah, Kirk puts on a good show, as always. So, all right. Thank you, Chad. And Greg's back in 2 hours for Matt and Air on Air. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Thanks to all of you for being part of it. Up North News is the Wisconsin outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. Have a great Tuesday. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning, up north.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm joined by Milwaukee entertainment critic Matt Miller, and I welcome Deanna Donaldson, president of the Warren's Wisconsin Cranberry Festival. But you can just call her El Presidente.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. We want to hear from you there, too. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.